Be seated. As I mentioned earlier, today is Trinity Sunday, and one may wonder why we take a Sunday out of the year to celebrate or acknowledge or underscore the Trinity of God. After all, I don't know if you know it or not, but the word Trinity is not even found in the Bible. So then, why did such a doctrine come to be? And why is it important? I'd like to start with why it's important. And I want to begin with a story. Back in the 1950s in Chicago, there was a little boy about 10 years old standing before a shoe store on State Street. He was barefooted, peering through the window and shivering with cold. You see, in October in Chicago, it's already cold. A lady approached the boy and said, "My little fellow, why are you looking so earnestly into that window?" The boy replied, "I was asking God to give me a pair of shoes." The lady took him by the hand, went into the store, asked the clerk to get a half a dozen pair of socks for the boy. She then asked if the clerk could give her a basin of water and a towel. The clerk brought those to her. She took the little fellow to the back of the store. Removing her gloves, she knelt down, washed his feet, and dried them with a towel. By this time, the clerk had returned with the socks. Placing a pair of socks on the boy's feet, she purchased him a pair of shoes. Then she tied up the remaining socks and gave them to him. She patted him on the head and said, "Now, my little fellow, I'm sure you're going to be a lot more comfortable." As she turned to go, the astonished little fellow grabbed her by the hand and, looking up in her face, said, "Are you God's wife?" Are you God's wife? Why would this little boy link a compassionate deed with God? What, after all, do we know about God? What kind of being is God? How do we know if what we think about God is right? Philosophers have speculated that God is so different than we are that we have no real hope of ever knowing Him. That is, God is so far above our ability to understand that for us to think we could ever comprehend the being that created us, created the earth, created our universe, created time, that we could understand this being is the height of presumption, the height of pride or arrogance. The gulf between God and man is so great that us trying to understand Him is similar, perhaps, to an insect trying to understand humanity. This is why the doctrine of the Trinity is so important, because it is this doctrine, along with some others, of course, that help us begin to understand who God is and what He's like. And it's because we have begun to know who He is that we are here today, because we're here to worship God and learn even more about Him. We know that it's important to be in contact with God. We know intuitively that God wants to be in communication with us, and we long for that communication. When we feel God's Holy Spirit touch us, it's a wonderful feeling. And as we learn to love God more, we want to know Him better. It's a fact. If you really love someone, you want to know all that you can about that person. And so it is with us and God. The more we love Him, the more we desire to know Him better. This is why the doctrine of the Trinity is important. Now let's look at why we understand God is a Trinity. In the Old Testament, we learn a lot about God, and through it we know many things, but as it says in the book of Hebrews, in these last days, God has spoken to us by His Son. In our gospel today, Jesus tells Nicodemus that there is no one who has descended from heaven except the Son of Man, except Jesus. We have no other eyewitness source from heaven to tell us about God the Father. Later, the Lord tells Philip that if they've seen Him, they've seen the Father. Therefore, if we want to know what God the Father is like, we need to study Jesus. because Jesus is like his Father. The Apostle Paul tells us in the letter to the Colossians that Jesus is the image of the invisible God, that in Jesus the fullness of the Godhead was pleased to dwell. So what does God look like? What is his image? Well, if he weren't invisible, if he wasn't a spirit, then he would look and act like Jesus. How does that work? How can Jesus be God on earth in a human body? Well, the first answer is obvious. We don't know for sure. But we read in the Gospel according to John that in the beginning was the Word. And the Greek word for word is logos, which can be translated either word or reason or logic. The Word was with God, the Word was God. Jesus is that Word. Jesus is the logos, or reason of God. When the early church fathers were trying to fit together everything Jesus taught and everything Jesus did, they came up with the concept of the Trinity. Tertullian, one of the church fathers, was one of the first to use this term. Around 190, he wrote the following: "Observe then, when you are silently talking to yourself, this very process is carried on within you by your reason, which meets you with a word at every movement of your thought. For whatever you think, there is a word. You must speak it in your mind. Thus, in a certain sense, the word is a second person within you, through which, in thinking, you utter speech. The word is itself a different thing from yourself." Now, how much more fully is all this transacted in God, whose image and likeness you are? This is the way Tertullian explained how Jesus Christ was God and yet was separate from God the Father. And as we talked about last week, God the Father sent the Holy Spirit to the church on Pentecost. The Holy Spirit has a number of different jobs. He's the giver of life, just like Jesus tells Nicodemus in our gospel reading today. You must be born again. So we are born again. That is, given new life through and by the Holy Spirit. Also, the Holy Spirit's our advocate, guide, counselor, the one who gives us strength. Jesus then tells us that the Holy Spirit is here to glorify Jesus. That is, one of the primary jobs of the Holy Spirit is to show us more clearly who Jesus is and what Jesus is like. So to understand God, the Holy Spirit shows us who Jesus is and what he is like. And when we understand what Jesus is like, we get what God is like. This is why when we worship God, it centers upon Jesus and what he has done. Jesus, through his work and words, show us who God is. And as we learn to love and appreciate Jesus more, we are learning to love God. The story is told of a park ranger out west who was warning some hikers about the bears. "Brown bears," he said, "are usually harmless. They avoid contact with humans. So we suggest that you attach small bells to your backpacks and give the bears time to get out of your way. However, grizzly bears are extremely dangerous. If you see any grizzly bear droppings, leave the area immediately." One of the hikers raised his hand and said, "Well, how can we tell if the droppings we see are grizzly bear droppings?" "Oh, that's easy," said the ranger. "They are full of small bells." How can we tell if it's a grizzly or a brown bear? How can we tell if our understanding of God is correct? We look at Jesus. The woman who bought the little boy socks and shoes was behaving like God's wife, or at least like God's child. When we care for those who are in need, we are acting like God's children. How do we know? Because Jesus did that. Jesus cared for those who were in need. And since Jesus did that, we know that we ought to do that same sort of thing too. It's Trinity Sunday. The Trinity is important because through the Trinity, we are able to know and begin to understand who God the Father is, and learn to see His great love for us through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ by the illuminating power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.